Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right. And now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
Another week.
Many welcomes.
Another Twitch stream.
Yay. This is 11,000 weeks in a row.
Yeah. 262. Almost, Stitch. That's 626.
Okay. Okay. We got a long way to go for that one.
I know. I know.
Another 5 years.
What is that? Like Stitch, as in the character.
Lilo and Stitch. I have never seen Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, it's a delightful movie.
Okay, those are two different ends of the spectrum. Delightful and okay.
Either love it or you've never seen it.
What is it? Is that what it is? So either love it or I've loved it.
So here's the thing.
I've either loved it or I've never seen it, meaning if I see it, I will love it?
As far as I know.
Like, I hadn't seen it, and then it was on, I think, Netflix, and I popped it on, and I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Right? So it was fun. It was worth the watch, but it's not like, oh my God, you got to go see it.
Better or
worse? Spider-Man.
You got to go see that. And Aladdin. Really liked Aladdin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I did. I liked Aladdin. Is Aladdin still in theaters?
Yes. It still is.
Aladdin! Yay! You know who the original Aladdin was? Steve from Fuller House.
Oh.
Yeah, so I said Fuller.
Was he on that?
Yeah.
Did he show up on that?
Fuller House?
Outside the first episode?
He's a main character.
Really?
I haven't watched it.
Yeah, well, Aladdin's not doing
Never
much.
Mind.
He's
Never mind.
DJ's love interest that's when right. she has to decide between him or hunky Dr. Mark.
Oh, that's right.
Hunky
Dr. Mark Harmon.
He's not funky.
Funky Marky Harky.
Funky Marky Harky.
He doesn't even have a bunch.
No, he definitely doesn't have a bunch.
I forgot he was on that show.
Funky Dr. Harmon. Or, which is Funky Dr. Harmon, who drinks Funky Comedina.
He's a good looking dude.
He is. He's, what a dreamboat. What a tall drink of water. And DJ Tanner, or DJ Fuller now.
But not DJ Jazzy Jeff.
No, who I once insulted.
I know.
Inadvertently.
So that story subsequently had me learn and get a very, very awkward t-shirt.
Okay.
So your version when you asked DJ Jazzy Jeff asked you if you wanted an autograph and you looked at him and said, no.
Yeah.
that stuck with me when the Bad Boys of Optometry, a rock and roll cover band that was performing at a job that I had.
That doesn't involve Wayne Szalinski?
No.
No, it's the real people?
Yeah, and they asked me if I wanted one of their cool t-shirts that they brought, which was just one of those screen printed t-shirts where it was like people throwing tea in the harbor, but they just photoshopped crudely their faces on top of the people in the photo.
Understood.
And I remember when he said, hey man, I'll get you a t-shirt. And I looked at him, I said, oh, I'll pick one up at the end. He goes, no, they're going to sell out. And so I want to get you one.
Definitely.
And all I could think of was like, don't insult DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Yep. So for those of you who don't know, very quick, in high school, I worked at Foot Locker in the mall for like 6 months. I hated that job. And one time, one of the several celebrities that came in during my time there was weird.
To that weird Foot Locker.
Yeah, it's like I was on a TV show. In walked
special guest stars.
Exactly. Ratings are down. We got to spice things up. In walked DJ Jazzy Jeff, like the real one, like the Fresh Prince, the Fresh Prince of Bel Air's DJ. And he walked in, and I walked up to him to like help him out because I'm there to sell some shoes. And I walked up to him and I looked him right in the eye and I go, hey man, are you DJ Jazzy Jeff? He goes, yeah, I am. Do you want like an autograph or something? I went, no, I'm good. Those were my exact words. I looked him right in the eye and I go, no, I'm good. And I walked away to the back and I'm like, oh, I probably just ruined his day. And I didn't mean to.
Yeah, because the autograph wasn't for you.
Right. He was just like, oh yeah, I'm so happy to get recognized in 2000 and anything. I'm so happy just to get recognized. And I'm like, do you want an autograph? And I don't. And in my head, like, it was like snap judgment. Because I'm like, what the hell am I going to do with DJ Jazzy Jeff's autograph?
Right.
I'm going to go get a fucking receipt from Foot Locker and have you signed this? Like, what am I going to do
right.
with and DJ Jazzy Jeff's autograph?
I don't have a photo.
Yeah, do I have to buy these shoes so you have something to sign? You also don't have shoes. You're DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Yeah, right.
So I didn't get it. And I do think I ruined that guy's day.
Oh, he died a little bit inside that day.
But can you, I mean, like, can you understand that you're not the Fresh Prince? You're not Will Smith. That's not why we're here.
No, he was in Aladdin.
He was in
full
Aladdin.
Circle.
He was the genie. And I do like Aladdin. Hooray. There's stuff a-brewing and going down. We're really excited for the second half of the show. We're excited for the whole show, but we're going to give you a little preview. We tell you that the most fun we have every month is Be Heard. We're going to give you a question or two as a preview, because right after this on patreon.com/newageinsiders, we will send you a link to the stream if you're listening live and sign up right now. We're going to be doing Be Heard. It's that time of the month. We all sunk up with the moon. And we are going to be doing that right after this. Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. You pick the questions. They do not have to be about wrestling. They often aren't. We have a ton of fun. They certainly can be about wrestling. But they can be about anything you'd like, and we're going to have a blast, and we want you to join us, and that's going to start. We're going to do that in the second half and really just give you a preview of what's going to be streaming right after this. If it's Wednesday night, it's 8 o'clock. You should be right here on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV.
Yeah.
Hooray. So let's just jump into it, because there's a lot happening. I have thoughts. And,
sure.
We definitely want to make sure that we talk to you all about the wonderful things.
Thoughts and Talks.
Yeah, hooray. That's
the new name of the show.
That's the new name of the show. Thoughts and talks. And it's just about helping dads talk about boners with their sons. Right. So speaking of boners.
Yep. Wow. The internet had a boner for Paul Heyman taking over Raw.
So there was a kind
of a segue, boys.
There was an unexpected announcement that happens. I'm beginning to think passive aggressively right after we were done with our show last week.
Right?
Where there was just really out of the clear blue sky, and I don't think anybody really saw this coming. Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff named the executive directors of Raw and SmackDown Live, respectively. So there's a lot to unpack there, but just sort of as it hits you, because now I heard that Bischoff didn't run this week's SmackDown.
Correct.
But, that's right.
But Heyman did run this week's Raw.
Supposedly Bischoff had a couple things going on, and he's going to start after Extreme Rules.
Okay. So Heyman did, and I think you could tell, and Bischoff hasn't. So I'm really not even asking necessarily about what you thought specifically about this week's TV. But just sort of in general that this move, this announcement was made.
Well, you know, I'm apprehensive, right? Because I thought we couldn't get any lower than Vince McMahon standing in his own wrestling ring going, I'm sorry I haven't been trying, you know? But we did, and we got lower, you know? So I don't know whether you're doing this for me or you're doing this for you, you know, like WWE. Because, yeah, on the surface, it sounds great. It sounds great that it's, Paul Heyman is now in charge of Raw. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah, let me dust off one of my Maltov-isms here, right?
Sure.
Where I've said this before, this is not going to be the last time I drop this one either, right? The only time in the history of World Wrestling Entertainment Federation .com, download this. Remember that sign?
I know.
WWF.com. Download this. Even this has to be like, you know, so
right.
90s. It
you
hurts.
You also can't download a website.
Right. Oh. Yeah. You don't. Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. We don't even know what we're doing. They literally had theundertaker.com because there was no Facebook
or
Twitters.
Know.
So they just had.
And the worst part was it just went to WWF.com.
And remember that though? Like literally on the night, it'd be like Triple H and then like in small
Triple print. H.com.
Exactly. Because there was no like MySpace even. So it was just like,
you know what?
Get your own website.
I have a computer in front of me. I'm going to see if the Undertaker. Taker.com is the thing.
I
bet you it is.
I hope it is. I really do. I hope you can play Snake.
It just goes to WWE.com.
That's too bad. But I've said this before, and I will.
The real question is the Rock.com. Yeah, no, that goes to WWE too.
I can't believe a radio station hasn't bought that by now. Anyway.
I know, right?
Right. How have you not bought the Rock.com?
Well, the most infuriating thing is that movie show .com owned by MTV.
Are you real? Are you for
bastards.
Real?
Yeah.
Was that an MTV show?
No.
They just bought it because they probably bought that 70s show or something stupid. Anyway, so I'll dust off one that this is not the last time you're going to hear this from me either. The only time ever that the WWE has ever had to make significant changes to their programming, which in my estimation is really in our lifetime and really, really kind of ever, only been twice, is when they are forced to. There are two examples I give all the time. In 1997, 98, they looked around and they went, we're getting our ass kicked. this show isn't working, and there's a show on the same time on a channel I hate that is actually beating us, and we do not have a network, and we do not have the internet, and if our right. TV show gets canceled, our company will disintegrate.
Collapse.
Right, exactly, right? And so that was 97, 98-ish, where they go, out of necessity, we will change. What is the most popular thing on TV right now? Jerry Springer, MTV.
South Park.
Right, South Park. What's the music scene? It's grunge. It's angsty. It's what's going on right now,
yeah,
right?
Alt-rock.
Exactly. What's working in other places that you might not have heard about? Raven and ECW and this movement and there's this thing, but hopefully you actually haven't seen it so I can rip off their ideas and take their talent, right? But the big point being, out of necessity, they changed. Chris Benoit kills his wife and son. Out of necessity, they went, we have got to drop every stigma from pro wrestling and be like, we're literally going to bring Scooby-Doo in.
Yeah, right.
Because this has got to be a show.
It's got to be our family show.
Because you can't be afraid to have your kid watch it. You just heard the most horrific thing you ever heard.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of talk about CTE and brain stuff and chair shots, and you're going to replay on the news. I guarantee you Nancy Grace played that thing where Mick Foley got beaten to death by The Rock.
Yeah, I know.
And all that stuff, right? And so
and one of them's the biggest movie star on the planet.
Yep.
And the other was Mick Foley.
Right, yeah. And the other one is a great guy. And a great example of the second topic we're going to have a lot later on in the show, which is should chair shots to the head, like Cody Rhodes took, be applicable in 2019. We'll talk about that coming up. But point being, big point, when they have to change, they will, kind of, or really that they will. And yeah, like, right. Look, they are not in 1997 or Chris Benoit just killed his family territory, right?
Right.
That's the problem. I'm not pretending that. However, I will give credit where it's due, and I do not want to be one of these people that gushes and thinks too much of them, but I'll give AEW credit. I do believe they have lit, even if they're just so annoying they want to do something about
right.
it, I do think they have begun to, like, what I think AEW used to be was a little brother that would, like, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. Can't tell mom because right. I'm not touching you. And for the early parts of it, WWE was very cool about just sitting there and taking it and watching yep. TV. And now, yep, I think WWE is starting to swat them and tell them to piss off. And
right. Well, they're being annoying.
Right.
The biggest thing is that WWE used to have an identity, right? We go back to the Attitude Era because that was their identity, right? And after Chris Benoit, they lost it. They weren't quite Attitude, but they weren't quite Golden Age Hulk Hogan.
The scratch logo didn't fit.
The scratch logo didn't fit. The brand split was a thing, but not really a thing. And so they didn't have an identity. And it was weird, right? Because it wasn't for kids, it wasn't for adults, but it was for both. And nobody could really sink their teeth into it. For better or for worse, the best thing that AEW has going for it is that they are exactly who they are, right? And the Fyre Festival, their Fighter Festival, was hilarious. That is somebody that is so aware of their brand and their audience that it was hilarious watching Kenny Omega leading up to Fighter Festival and during Fighter Festival try and put out fires that were reminiscent of the hilarious internet thing that had happened before. They're so in tune with their internet wrestling audience that even their entrance after they lost their gear, dressed up like Street Fighter characters, they had a huge internet deep cut where the guy hopped on stage to do the Batista thing to then run away, you know, and get hit by him. That's such a deep cut internet wrestling meme that it's like, oh my God, I forgot that was a thing. And it's like, you guys are hitting on you're hitting on all of the audience. And WWE now, for better or for worse, has to turn around and go, no, yeah. Those are our nerds.
When we have guests on from like the different worlds, right? So like we had Ethan Page on last week, and I think as an Impact star, what I gathered from him is that what Impact's trying to do, like if I said like, what does Impact want to be? Innovative, right? Whether it be Twitch, whether it be getting out there in like new and inventive ways. Like Ethan Page literally said, they paid me more because I'm doing this side work and putting them over, right? So I think Impact's goal, of all the jokes and all the stuff and all the stuff, what their goal is to be innovative and be on the cutting edge of this kind of thing, right? Ring of Honor, no matter what you think of them right now, the consistent answer has always been, whoever we talk to from that company, they go, we want to be the best in-ring wrestling on planet Earth, right?
Right.
When you talk to WWE, when we talk to Ziggler or Kofi or Bennett or refs
or Todd
or Justin Roberts, JR, they always throw that smiles on faces line. And with all due respect, that's so easy. What? Okay, our goal is we want you to go to the show and not regret being here. Wow, what a lofty bar you've set. Like,
yeah, right.
It sounds good to go. Our job is to put smiles on
faces.
Yeah,
we want to put on the best entertainment.
Yeah, I paid $60 for this ticket. I hope I have fun.
Yeah,
right. You know what I mean? And so it speaks to your point. WWE doesn't have that boom. Yeah. Impact knows what they want to be.
Well, and then even inside WWE's own brand, NXT knows exactly what it is. And that's why people gravitate towards it, right? Because NXT might not be your cup of tea. You might be a WWE fan and you like the main roster and you like Raw and you like SmackDown, sure, and that's your cup of tea and you don't like Impact or NXT.
Yep.
But that it has an identity and it has a fan. That kid that was having his time of his life during WrestleMania, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yep.
That's
Adam Cole, baby.
Adam Cole, baby. You're looking at the new champ. That kid he gravitated to that brand because that brand has an identity.
Yeah, it's indie wrestling Mortal Kombat.
Right.
All of you just come here. Yeah, you know, right. The best of you come to NXT.
Right.
You know
and
what
so
I mean?
It's like,
and fight for Triple H on a throne of skulls.
And so ultimately,
it is Mortal Kombat.
So to kind of come back to the main central point, Paul Heyman taking over hopefully brings back a little bit of an identity.
Okay.
And you see a little bit of it on Monday Night Raw. But, you know, look, how many times has our boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, been terrible to us?
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible. And you go, hey, I'm not going to have any more of this. I'm going to go date this new person because they get me. We connect on a bunch of different levels. And you're like, oh, don't worry. I'm going to do this thing that we used to love to do.
See, but wrestling fans more realistically are just going to know you're not going to change, but take it. Cause I understand what I'm expanding on your point completely, because here's the thing. I always try to be optimistic,
right,
but I do remember 6 months ago sitting here when the four of them, all the McMahons,
yeah,
right, the McMahon-Helmsley regime that has still never gone away 20 years later, that I remember sitting on this mic,
right,
and going, hey, man, I'm optimistic.
Yep.
They just went out in public and went like, our bad, whoops,
right,
this show sucks. And if they were willing to go out there and do that, then they might be willing to actually make some real changes. And I would argue that significant changes weren't made. Things changed here and there.
Well, they did a great job. And again, I'm going to use the boyfriend or girlfriend analogy. You were real good and things were great for 4 weeks. Leading up to that Royal Rumble, you were great. Things felt like they were changing. Things were great. And it felt like we were doing it. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh no, we're back in the same rut.
Fell, right? And so, because the big thing I want to point here is that, like, look, it sounds right.
Right.
It sounds right that from over the last 6 months or so, I've heard that Pritchard's got a job back there again, that now they've got, publicly, Eric Bischoff in charge of SmackDown sooner than later. Paul Heyman's creatively, in theory, running Monday Night Raw. But here's the thing.
Vince is still in charge.
Yeah, because the Moxley interview with Jericho should tell you a lot of why I have such trepidation here. Because everything flows through him. So if you told me, if this guy had sat there on Chris Jericho's show with nothing to lose and no punches to pull, and he said, these creative guys are a bunch of morons. They're soap opera writers. They don't get wrestling.
Right.
Everything they pitch me is stupid. And so the whole system stinks because they hire a bunch of guys from Days of Our Lives and they're supposed to write wrestling. Then I'd be like, okay, at the very least, Paul Heyman comes in and goes, let's get rid of all of them.
Yeah.
I know wrestling. No. Every story is the same.
The writers come up with a great idea, and then Vince goes, no, we're going to do this.
Right, exactly. No, you're going to get a shot because this town smells so bad, so you're going to get vaccinated. And
right,
he goes, I don't want to do that. And I go, ultimately, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And so my fear is that, like you said, on Raw this week, because again, SmackDown gets a pass, which was good, by the way. The Kevin Owens line. Did you see the
Kevin Owens roasted
him. Oh, my God. He just said everything we've been trying to say to Dolph Ziggler in person for years. It was amazing.
Yeah.
But anyway, Raw, right? Okay, we're going to crash through this thing, and it's going to explode.
Yeah.
And the show flew by, and it felt good, right?
Yep.
It's 1 week.
Yeah.
What's the long-term future? And I've been fooled before.
Well, and
although I will sit here foolheartedly, right, as Custer's famous last words, I am optimistic.
Yeah.
But the reality is ultimately Paul Heyman does, no matter how much we want to kid ourselves otherwise, go to this dude and say, this is what I want to do. And ultimately, he has the power to change.
Well, this is a rinse, wash, repeat story that we've heard countless times before. Vince McMahon brings in Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman gets creative control of things, and things get better. Vince sees things getting better, takes back control. Heyman gets angry. Heyman gets fired. Right? That's what we do. Right? It's the same thing with Pritchard. Pritchard comes in, he makes things better, Vince sees that things are getting better, Vince takes back control, Pritchard gets angry, Pritchard gets fired.
See, and here's, you know what the common denominator is? And remind me to ask a follow-up question.
Okay.
But you know what the common denominator is that I worry will never go away, expanding on your point? Is the, and again, I really hate sounding like such a typical fan, because you know me, I hate the word buried and stuff like that.
Right.
But allow me to sound smarky for a moment, right? My fear is that the ego of Vince McMahon kicks in thusly. He will have enough foresight to go like, okay, God damn it, you want something else? I'll bring in Pritchard. I'll bring in Heyman. I'll bring in these guys, right? You keep telling me and I keep telling me, fine, all right. Here they are, right? And then they'll have their ideas and like, okay, fine. You think you're so much better than me, you can have it, right? And then all of a sudden, things get better or different. And the internet goes, thank God, we needed a change. And then Vince goes, oh, okay, well, I'll show you. It's the same, because you know who he does it with? Hunter.
Yes.
That is why they are Eric and Ivar, and wanted to be the Viking. He wanted to be the Viking experience.
Right.
Triple H goes, I got these guys.
They're great.
I made them. They were already awesome. I made them WWE system stars. And Vince goes, great. And I'll take it from here, because there's no way that anybody is better than me.
Yeah.
And so my fear is that somebody like a Paul Heyman is going to make this show appreciably better. Ratings will go up. The internet response will become trend more positively. And then Vince McMahon will go, okay, I'm sick and tired of hearing that somebody else saved my show. I'll show you. Thanks. I'll take it from here. And he just always makes it worse.
Right.
And I hate to sound so smarky.
But that's the thing is that when we constantly have to have the conversation of, it looks like they're trying again, or I don't think it's going to be like that this time around, or it's going to be different, or someone else is finally in charge. At what point is it not internet smarky and it's calling exactly what it is? It's calling the spade the spade. And you look at the declining TV ratings, right? And we talked about it on last week's show, and we'll talk about it, I guess, a little bit on this, where it's like, yeah, you're fooling investors by getting a big infusion of cash because of these Saudi Arabia shows, but your house show numbers are going down, your live attendance is going down.
You blocked off half the arena. That's Slammiversary stuff.
Right. That's like when you actually see it, it is a black psych wall that cuts off half the audience. That is WCW in 2001 level shit.
That is legitimately Slammiversary.
Right.
TNA pay-per-view, we'll be thrilled if we fill the opposite side, because we know we're not selling out. So we're going to stick everybody Oppo hard cam, and we'll be thrilled if that looks full. That's a WWE pay-per-view.
Raw isn't looking full, you know, and
there are reports that have not been disputed and have actually started to spread that 4,500 tickets were sold to Stomping Grounds.
Yeah.
Now, look, I don't care if it's a B pay-per-view,
doesn't matter.
That show,
that's bad.
I used to make fun of them, like, you know, obviously to myself, but I used to make fun of them because I thought it was so comical when they would be like, every show, oh, it's sold out. It's sold out. And it's like, you don't see that anymore.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a reason for it, because they're not.
And look, and because I agree with you, like, that was the whole thing, is that like every Raw used to kick off with the shot of the signs and the attendance, because they were proud of it, because it was standing room. And like, look, I'm not telling you, it's like, how come it's not 1999 anymore?
And that's not it, because,
You know, they just don't even lie to me and tell me it's a sellout.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, you know, because you know Vince, who literally counts security, hot dog guys, and the wrestlers as WrestleMania attendance.
Right.
You know that if it was close enough to a sellout, or he sold out, like, seats but not standing room, he'd call it one.
Right, because he sold out, but half the tickets were on StubHub.
You do that, too. The old Red Sox trick.
Yeah, right.
The Red Sox had an attendance record because the tickets were sold. Even if they were sold to scalpers.
They were sold.
They were purchased.
There were not people, because that was the joke here in Boston, is that they had a consecutive sellout streak, but half the stadium was empty.
Yeah.
And it was because, yeah, technically half of those tickets, all those tickets were on StubHub. Yeah,
exactly. And that but, was, right. But so
you look at WWE, and it's, you know, yeah, your show is declining. Your show isn't good. And the problem is that there are so many alternatives, because you're living in a renaissance, and you see, like, we're friends with a lot of wrestlers on, like, Facebook and Twitter and all these other platforms.
And in their real life, too.
And in their real life. And you see them talk about it because, you know, someone like Anthony Green, right, who's wrestles for Evolve, and he wrestles for NEW, and he wrestles all over the country for these different promotions and stuff. He's like, yeah, this is so good. It's such a great renaissance of pro wrestling. And it's like, those shows are full. So people like wrestling.
Yeah.
Right. When you see, you know, when you see Joey Ryan dick flip somebody in a, you know, a music hall, that place is full.
So you know who their WWE's worst nightmare is? It's
themselves.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But you know who their worst nightmare is? It's not Bullet Club front row at Raw guy.
No.
Because here's the thing. Here's the reality. 7 to 8, and maybe closer to 9, out of Bullet. Oh, we got a thing on
Insidious Pie. Shout out.
Yeah, you're the best.
I didn't get a shout out, and I subscribed.
Ooh. MC Saltine, shout out.
So 7, and I think it's, like I said, close to 8 or 9 out of 10 out of Bullet Club in the front row of Raw guy.
Yeah, they
right?
don't care about that.
Well, what I'm saying
I
is,
don't care about that either.
No. I'm not even saying that. I'm saying that that guy will watch Fyter Fest, go to it, and still watch Raw.
And go to Raw.
Right.
Whatever you can go to.
That is not their worst nightmare.
I'm their worst nightmare.
Well, you know,
because I've stopped watching Raw.
Yeah, you know who their worst nightmare is? Danny. Bill, you know, Bill's girlfriend.
Okay.
Because you know what?
Okay.
Because guess what happens?
Yeah, I mean, she's a nightmare to begin with. But
right. Yeah, right. You know why she's their worst nightmare? Is because, like, look, Bullet Club and front row guy will maybe even go, like, I'm out of here for a little while, but watch right. WrestleMania and SummerSlam and most Raws.
Right.
Danny, when she's like, I'm not interested in WWE right
now.
Not
watching at all.
Not watching wrestling. And it's and the point I'm making with that is it's much easier to lose her forever.
Right.
Because Bullet Club guy will come back. He's still watching wrestling. He'll come back. Danny, if she loses interest for months on end.
Right.
And, you know,
well,
didn't
and
live
the flip
bill,
side,
but she's done.
But the flip
wrestling.
Side is that she's, you know, I don't think she paid for it, but she is the person that will pay to meet Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
So when she's in, she's in.
Right, exactly.
Right?
But she wants to be in.
And she wants to be in, but she's not, because you're not giving her anything
it's
to
not worth
invest
her time.
In.
Right, and she doesn't watch anymore.
Right.
And, like, the only point I make about her specifically is,
yeah,
like,
no,
I
that's
said,
a better example than me.
Because Bullet Club guy will come back if, like, he hears stuff on Twitter. She
doesn't care.
And people like her. We'll just be like,
she's gonna tweet about her socks,
and right, and she'll
which
just,
I didn't get was a bit. Is what's going on with that?
She's wearing different socks
has,
like every day.
Yeah, she has Disney socks and stuff.
And she's just hooray hygiene.
Yeah.
Letting us know what they are.
Pretty much
hooray hygiene.
So, because I want to get to this next thing. So my closing comments in this are: Raw felt good this week. It was a good show. Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff, in theory, are as good as anybody, because I don't know wrestling minds better than theirs on the market or whatever.
Sure.
So, yeah. But I hope it's not just like, again, it's not just like, this sounds like the thing you want to hear.
Right. Well, that's what it feels like to me.
Ratings are down. You keep bitching online, and this is the thing you want to hear the most.
Right. You're going to watch on Raw because you heard Paul Heyman's taken over.
And it's Band-Aids over stitches is yes. my fear. But if they let, if for the first time in 40 years, Vince yeah. McMahon can actually relinquish some control, good. If not, then I just hear from real people that we talk to and John Moxley, who talked to Chris Jericho, that,
well, it's like,
there just seems to be a buck stops here mentality.
The question that I have is, you know, and this is my closing thought on this is, you know, why am I going to believe you? Why am I going to believe you? This, you know, I've already moved on to AEW and New Japan. You know what I mean? What's different this time? Why, Vince, are you going to change? It's going to take more than Braun Strowman crashing through the set and having some sparklers go off.
Yeah, no, I think it's little things like...
The dumbest thing in the world is this 2 out of 3 falls nonsense.
I think it's like little things here and there. Because it's like Rome wasn't built in a day kind of thing.
Yeah.
Corey Graves said shit on their show.
Yeah, but then it was bleeped out.
No, it wasn't.
No, on the Hulu and the subsequent replays.
I'll take it.
See.
Honestly, no, I'll take it. Seriously. I expect... Because that also might be a Hulu decision. I don't know. And even if it's a WWE decision, honestly, I'll take it. I will. I'll take Corey Graves feeling like he's so caught up in the moment that he drops a swear on real TV. And honestly, that is something. I'm looking for steps. That is one. I'll take that. Yeah. And I'm also not one of those fans that's like, I need him to say now. Like, it's not South Park. Now he had to say shit every week. I'm just saying that in that moment... That was the first time a WWE commentator has made a moment feel bigger to me in I don't remember how long. Because Corey Graves, in that moment in time...
Felt like a real person.
Felt like he was worried about his friends. You know, you know what I mean? Like, okay, that's something.
Yeah.
This show can feel a little realer? Okay. You know what I mean? Like, again, I don't want to have to scratch and claw for these moments.
Yeah, no, Kofi Kingston did give the finger on
SmackDown. Yes, he did.
So, you know, but again... Was it because we're trying? You know what I mean? Yeah. Talk to me.
And I get your point that it's frustrating that you go, because this is to me like, you ever see those commercials for carpet where they go, this week it's 75% off? And in my head I go, what the hell were you charging me for carpet last week? You know what I mean? That you can have a sale, take 75% off and make money. What the hell were you charging me for carpet?
Yeah, right.
There's something to be said when you go, all right, guys,
we're trying.
And now I got to go, why the hell weren't you trying before? I gave you all the same money. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I gave you real my had to try for it money. And so, like, Kevin Owens shooting on Dolph Ziggler was awesome. How come you haven't let Kevin Owens talk for 2.5 years?
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? I understand both sides of that completely.
You know? And again, I watched the McMahons stand in that ring and go, we're sorry, we haven't been trying. And subsequently, the next 4 weeks were great. You tried real hard, and it felt like we were going to get through this, and it was just a rough patch, but... Damn it, we do love each other. And you know what? Call me after SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Call me after SummerSlam. And let's see how this looks. Because, you know, even Eric Bischoff hasn't even taken over yet.
There's a direct line between control and change. Even if, I don't even know if it's going to wind up being positive. I'm sure it will, but whatever. On this line chart, the two things will be control and change. Those are the two controls here. You know what I mean? Because the more control Vince relinquishes, the more on the show will change. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
The less control that gets relinquished, the less that actually is an opportunity to change.
Right.
Because if you just go, here are new ideas to be rejected.
Yeah, right.
Then we don't move the car forward.
Oh, yeah. The executive directors are now Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman. But if Paul Heyman goes, hey, I want to have Kevin Owens and I'm going to basically make him Stone Cold Steve Austin. And Vince goes, no.
Yeah, exactly. He's fat. And it's just like, then we are the status quo.
We are. Nothing has changed.
And it's look, I will sit here and be foolishly optimistic. However, I definitely feel the need to say that I've been here before.
Because, and ultimately, the thing that we also have to realize is that no change is actually going to be affected immediately, right? We have the plan until Extreme Rules, right? So we have to get through till next Sunday in order to have Extreme Rules, because then Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff really take over, because now it's the build to SummerSlam.
Right.
So let's see what happens there.
Right. And what the hell were you charging me for carpet
and
before?
What the hell? God damn it.
75% off? What was the markup before? God damn it.
Yeah.
It's like a 3,000% markup on carpet? What is this?
Well, that's like every single Persian rug place is always going out of business.
Yeah, right. Cool. Your numbers are unreasonable.
Well, that's how they afforded the CGI character in the Empire commercials.
Unreal.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like,
they had to make that kind of money.
Where'd they pay that little dude $100,000 a year or something?
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
Look, him unfurling that carpet and throwing
2,300 Empire.
Today.
Pill. What's the next topic, Pill?
Go for it, Pill.
So over the last weekend, not this past weekend, but the prior weekend, before it was AEW's Fyter Fest, and Cody Rhodes took one hell of a chair shot from Sean Spears right across the dome.
I posted a GIF of it on our Twitter.
And I'm very excited to see what they're going to do with Sean Spears, because that was kind of unexpected.
Yeah.
I hope his sister Brittany shows up.
Yeah, Brittany Spears. We hope so.
So we'll see we'll see what you guys have to think about have to say about that.
Okay, so I want to open this up to you because I don't necessarily feel passionately on either end of the spectrum. Like, I wouldn't be protesting on either side of this. But this is the question that I want to open up to you, honestly, open-ended, and see where this conversation goes. It's 2019. We know what we know. We know a lot, right? We have 20 years worth of new information over when The Rock and Mick Foley did what they did at the Royal Rumble.
Right.
Right? 20 years. And if you think about what the last 20 years, it might as well be 50 years, you know what I mean, with advancements, right? Knowing what we know now, what are your thoughts on chair shots to the head?
They don't bother me because they feel like an emphasis point. Now, ultimately, you know, this is a little different because and same thing kind of with the gold dust. In terms of, like, they kind of screwed up a little bit and they bled a little too much, right? In Cody's instance, it was an accident. The chair dug into the back of his head and caused the bleeding to occur there. Dustin, you know, bladed a little too hard and overly bled. But the spirit of it is what I appreciate because it harkens back to wrestling that I remember and wrestling that I care about, right? That late attitude, ruthless aggression era where, yeah, it wasn't ECW and everybody was bleeding in every match and New Jack was jumping off of everything and everything was bananas, right?
He used to hit people with typewriters.
Yeah, it was weird. He murdered that one kid that said he was of age and a trained wrestler and then he was just like 16.
Yeah.
So that happened.
He used to use one of the my famous favorite ones is one of those little lawnmowers that with the balls that just kind of pop all over things for kids.
Yep.
Hit somebody with that.
Of course he did. And so you look at it and the blood emphasized and helped with the matches, right? But then if you look earlier in the evening, John Moxley and Joey Janela, that wasn't bloody, you know? That wasn't a bloodbath.
Okay.
And that was a hardcore.
I think they're two different conversations, blood and chair shots to the head. I think they're two different conversations.
Yeah, but so chair shots to the head, it fits into it because I'm okay if it's not necessarily the norm, but it's used for emphasis. We don't know what the reason is, but why the hell was Sean Spears so mad at Cody Rhodes that he hit him in the head with a chair?
So let me throw that right back at you then, because I appreciate your point and agree with it. I think what we're missing in wrestling in general, certainly let's just talk about it, I guess, in WWE, because let's not paint with too broad a brush.
Right.
One of the things we're missing in WWE are exclamation points.
Right.
Hell in a Cells are no longer exclamation points. They're an annual event.
Right.
So it can't become something we do every 3 years and, oh, man, this is huge, when it's the norm, right?
Right.
And in WWE, that exclamation point of a chair shot to the head or you're bleeding everywhere is gone. And those are two of wrestling's, maybe the two biggest, exclamation points. And I completely agree with you. What I would throw out back at you is you just said it. We don't even know why he's so mad, and he's already at the wrestling equivalent of pulling out a gun.
Right.
So that to me is trending much more to it becoming the norm than the exclamation point.
Oh, see, I disagree because it is intrigue.
He already shot him.
Right, but it's intrigue to the story, right? So Sean Spears shows up, hits Cody Rhodes in the head, right? Why the hell did Sean Spears do that? Oh my God, that was so violent. And so now I have to watch the next show because I need to know why.
Okay.
Right? And so that's the beginning of the plot device, not the end of it. Because
then where do I go from there if I need to make this even feel bigger then? My thing if I've already pulled out the gun is how I feel in the wrestling terms.
Right. I think the chair shot, like,
What else can I do?
Honestly,
in modern wrestling, what else can I do?
Well, we build to the match and we build to a, you know, some sort of no holds barred stipulation of some kind, right? That's okay. What we end up blowing up to. But that's how I feel about this. I think when used in the right aspects, because in the Attitude Era and Ruthless Aggression, it was just head chair shot palooza, right? And it waters it down, but this is a great reaction for what they wanted to accomplish. This is exactly, I talked about it earlier with AEW being able to hit the buttons for the audience that they're trying to attract.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. There was barbed wire and a bunch of nonsense in the Janela Moxley fight, right? But this moment is an exclamation point inside that show, and it feels different.
Okay.
And so AEW is establishing that identity to be a pro wrestling that the fans have been online for Twitter. Everybody that watches Raw, when somebody takes a chair in WWE and lines up somebody's back or waits to hit him in the stomach, everybody...
And that's it. It's the gut to the back. Over and then the back.
You're right. And everybody says the same thing. It's just like... Every once in a while, I want somebody to wind up and hit him in the chair, like in the head, like they mean it. Well, AEW just did that. That's exactly what they did. And so they are in tune to what their audience actually wants. Now, what you're...
See, I'm in no way sitting here trying to be like, I'm not slamming my fist.
Right.
But at the same time, there is, I guess my question here is the great debate between can and should.
Right.
Yes. The fans have cried for something like this. Okay, even given that, should Cody Rhodes take an unprotected chair shot to the head, knowing what he knows about brain injuries? It's just I am not asking honestly. Asking
I take a look at this in the same way I look at smoking. Right, there is cigarettes. There is enough information out there in 2019. For you to have an accurate assessment of what cigarettes do to the human body. And if in 2019 you decide to smoke, I don't care and I don't want to hear you bitch about in 2030 when you have cancer that, oh man, I didn't know. Yep. No, there's enough information.
Yep.
And so this is the same thing where it's like, look, here's the thing, Cody, you're an entertainer. Right? You're a pro wrestling entertainer. And we know all of the information about CTE and chair shots to the head. And we're all aware of Chris Benoit. Right? And if you're willing to accept that risk as the entertainer to put on that show, then I'm not going to begrudge you for doing it. But in 2030, when you're shaking and everything, I then don't want to hear that you didn't know.
Okay. Okay. And I sincerely understand that. I guess it's just, and again, I'm not trying to be, because right. I'm surprising myself because I do think that I do think I'm leaning toward not doing it. Even though I completely understand your points. Nothing you say is irrational here. I just look at it and I go, okay. So, because it's weird. On the one hand, I look at it like boxing, because if you go out there and you go, if you get punched in the head on purpose, you're going to be all messed up. Everybody knows that. If you want to go out there and box, it's your point about, it's the same idea with what you said, you know what I mean? Where it's like, if you want to go out there, it's football, it's smoking, same idea. But then I look at something, I guess, as I grow older, and look at it like, okay, why don't I let you do meth? Why? Why do I care if you're going to be all shaken and cracked out in an alley, right? Because I don't want people to go out and do meth. Right. I don't want a society full of meth heads. And there are some people that don't do meth for fear of the repercussions, not just their health. I shouldn't care if methamphetamines are illegal. Yeah. If you want to go ruin your life, what do I care?
Right.
But I don't want that to be an option for you. So I guess when I look in the book, if you're a young wrestler, you're Flip, you're MJF, you look at Cody Rhodes doing that and you go, okay, this is the new normal again, because chair shots to the head basically went away.
Right.
And in one night, they kind of came back. And here's the example I'll give you, right? I don't care if you do steroids. You make baseball more fun. Yeah, I don't care.
Yes, you do.
But the reason why I understand why baseball banned them is this reason, right? I'm a 22-year-old kid. I don't want to do drugs. I'm afraid of steroids. I'm afraid of the repercussions. I don't want to do that.
But
I want to live on an equal playing field. And now if you're out there, I mean, literally, that is Barry Bonds' story.
Oh, yeah.
Barry Bonds goes, I'm the best player in this league. And you're all talking about Sammy Sosa, who sucks at everything but hitting home runs.
Yeah.
And you're not talking about me. So he ballooned up, so you'd start talking about him.
Right.
And if Sammy Sosa wasn't on steroids, even though he saved baseball, that wouldn't be what Barry Bonds did. So I understand why they're like, let's just get rid of it.
I guess my thing is that you look at it from an entertainment standpoint, because again, I go as like a performer and an actor, right?
Yeah, right.
And because ultimately that's what all wrestlers are, and I'll say it every single day, that they're just actors in a play.
Couldn't be more right.
But you look at it and there's a need There's a need and a desire and a fire to put on the best show possible. And I guess as somebody that has created and creates entertainment, it's there is a fire and a desire and a part of your brain that's a little crazy that makes you want to go that extra mile. And so it's like, yeah, look, could we have done this a little safer? Sure. Do we want to necessarily make this the normal? No, probably. But I can understand that the executive vice president of this company that's brand new and on fire, he's like, yeah, I want you to hit me in the head because I want this thing to get talked about as much as possible. So I'm not asking Sean Spears to get hit in the head. I'm asking you to hit me in the head.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And so that's where I just find it as like a person that is so passionate about creating that it's like, yeah, look, is it dangerous? I assume the risks. And if Cody is willing to do it, I'm cool with it.
I am definitely. So my final answer on this, and Bill, what do you think?
I'm completely against it. I think, you know, if we're going to. The way Sean Spears swung at Cody really bothered me. And whether the chair was gimmicked or not, what I saw in the aftermath, I saw Cody just kind of go limp. He fell down. The back of his head was just gushing blood out. It wasn't a work. And it just, I don't think there's any place for that kind of stuff in today's wrestling. And I think the young kids that watch it and the young people that watch it just shouldn't be seeing that kind of stuff.
So here's the thing, right? Again, seeing both sides of this, but let me play it out like this. You're right. If you are willing, as an adult, if you're willing to adhere to these risks that you are presented,
yeah,
and you sign and you go, right? Skydiving. Hey, you might fall out of the plane and die. You might. Yeah, you right. know what I mean?
But might not open.
Right. If you get up there and you jump out, hey, that's life, baby. Gotcha. I really do. I sincerely mean that. And I don't even necessarily feel bad for Cody Rhodes. Like, with Bill's point, right? You're right. It looked terrible, right? But as an actor, he went there, all that stuff, right?
Sure, yeah.
But let me throw this at you because I haven't heard this get talked about. Because this is real, right? He got hit in the side of the head, right?
Yeah.
With the wrong part of the chair. And I swear to God I mean this. I'm not trying to be Nancy Grace. What if he died? What if he died because he got hit in the temple and died? And now everything you built is gone and done and over, and AEW is toast, and Vince wins and goes right back to 07 and neuters the hell out of everything because now you got a bad taste of wrestling in your mouth all over again, even if it's not his fault.
Yeah.
And is it worth it? Because guess what? For better or worse, guess what happens when I hit you in the back with a chair? You don't die. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, again, do I sound a little much? I'm sure.
Yeah.
But you go back literally on at New Age Insiders on Twitter, the GIF's sitting there. Tell me that guy couldn't have died. You can't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He leaned to the side. He got hit in the temple. Like, I don't know, man. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Oh, and that starts tomorrow.
Ooh, oh, is it coming back tomorrow?
Wait. Yeah, 4th of July.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm so excited for
I'm excited for Orange is the New Black. That's later this month.
That's the end of the month, yeah.
But that's just like, and again, I know, man, because you're like, dude, what if you do a shooting star, man, and break your neck? Like, Brock could have died. You're right. You are right.
Yeah.
But what I'm telling you is, man, it better be, you know, it's just such an
inherent
risk.
It's
still a blow to the head.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
It's got to be worth it. That ultimately, that's what it boils down to.
Is the perfect 10 Ty Dillinger's debut worth it? Because I swear to God, it's not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's because you're right. You're right. It's worth it if, like, that is how the streak ended. Because somebody got so, like, breaking point that they just cracked the Undertaker over the head with a chair, and that guy just fell to the ground. Like, and you're like, holy, you know.
Yeah.
This is Ty Dillinger.
The other thing, too, is you look at, and it was, it wasn't his debut, but,
well,
like, I know what you mean.
Might as well have been.
Yeah. Here's the difference. We're also not having this conversation at all if it was unprotected, if it wasn't unprotected. Right. If you want to say that, like, we can do chair shots to the head, but they got to all be protected.
Yeah, put your hands up.
Then sure. I won't fight you on that. Right. I won't fight you on that. But put your hands up. Right. Okay. Put your hands up. Take the blow that way. And then maybe we're not having this conversation at all. But yeah, I don't think that chair shots to the head should just be out.
Yeah. And you know what? Ultimately, I agree with you. I really do. I think it should just be. OK, so like. Bear with me here that I guess my final comment is I agree with you. And it is one of wrestling's last exclamation points. But I would tell you that we got to do something bigger than Ty Dillinger. Here I am.
Yeah, well,
I don't care if it's his debut. That's his, like, look out for Ty Dillinger moment.
Right.
We got to do bigger than that. For me, to take an unprotected chair shot to the back of the head, man.
Yeah, well, what happens if Ty Dillinger ends up lighting the world on fire from here? You know what I mean? So I would say you just have to kind of let go of the preconceived notion a little bit of Ty Dillinger because, you know, it's not Ty Dillinger, right? I'm gonna be dorky and say this. Yeah, it's not Ty Dillinger. It's Austin Spears.
Sean Spears.
Yeah. It's even different. It's Sean Spears. Yeah. Right? And so.
Isn't Austin Spears?
Austin Spears is the guy that was on Mad TV.
Oh.
That's Aries Spears. Spears.
Aries Spears. I got him right too. Look, I you know.
Pickle Spears.
Here's the thing. I have a long run in relationship with the Spears family.
Oh.
I don't Brittany? Know. Yeah. Well, her and I fell out of touch a long time ago. Oh, but, no. You know, she shaved her head and it was all downhill from there.
Because of you?
She's not a girl. Yeah. But she's not yet a woman.
Yeah. I was the person that they were talking about when they said leave Brittany alone.
Oh. Okay.
Goodness
okay.
gracious.
Yeah. Was that you? Time. It was a dark time.
All right. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting conversation to be had. I don't think they're going to go away. But like I said, there is such an inherent risk that all I hope, I guess, is that it's worth it. And that nothing terrible happens, quite frankly, because it could. Because it really could. Because the other thing, too, is that I don't expect anything on par with the 1999 Royal Rumble.
Jesus, nobody should.
But, I mean, Mick Foley can't walk right, man, and he can't remember his promos. And, like, that stuff changed his quality of life. And it's just something to think about, that's all. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to preview the most fun we have. We're going to take some of your questions as we get ready to roll over to patreon.com/newageinsiders. But a preview of Be Heard. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Hey, neighborhood. Your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right. And now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders. Everyone is loving their rewards and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
Hey everybody, this is Rich Palladino, the voice of Chaotic Wrestling. I want to remind you to listen to the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network. You will hear stories from the 18-year history of Chaotic Wrestling, from the two guys that were there from day one, myself and former Chaotic Wrestling owner, Jamie J. Makowski. That is the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network.
Seriously, I don't even get to talk during this promo?
Shut up, Jamie.
I'm retired business executive and seasoned dad, Jamie J. Makowski.
And I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler, Scotty Slade, and we're the hosts of For the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops Quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie J. Makowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
You know, it's pretty crazy, but NAI Pod has now been downloaded on 6 continents and has thousands of weekly listeners.
Yeah, step it up, Antarctica.
Does that make us intercontinental champions?
Kinda, but it also means NAI Pod is a great way to advertise your business, brand, or website.
If you would like to advertise with the New Age Insiders, shoot us an email, newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Tap into a constantly growing audience, advertise with the New Age Insiders, and take your business to main event heights. Send your emails to newageinsiders@gmail.com. That's newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Moltov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
I know why we didn't do it, but I'm really sad that it wasn't Real American by Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Because that song is by Hulk Hogan.
I had another one queued up, too, that
it's
I was going to play.
Best wrestling theme.
It is the best wrestling theme.
Just because that guy's a douchebag doesn't mean it's not the best wrestling theme.
I wonder if you could
put both of those facts are true.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a douchebag, and that theme.
Yeah, he's a douchebag.
Bumps.
Well, it's great because we couldn't do this with John Cena. Not that you wanted to, because John Cena's a great guy. But you know, we can do that. Hulk Hogan is awesome. Terry Bollea is a piece of shit.
Yeah, Terry Bollea is a bad dude. It just seems like every time he has the opportunity to suck, he seems like he takes it.
Well, the worst point that was, I've been loving Viceland's Dark Side of the Ring.
Those have been
really good. Yeah. They're so good. And they did one on Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth, and Hulk Hogan, not in it. His likeness was used in dramatic reenactments, but...
that's so much better.
Yeah.
Cutting to I just imagine it being a silhouette on Dateline. It's just
basically what it was.
That's basically... Hulk Hogan began to run wild, brother.
Well, he didn't even talk. It was just flexing and stuff.
Yeah, it was so they were and then Terry came in and he was like, hey, Mach, we gotta get out of here. And but somebody would be like...
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, basically. But Linda was in it. Linda Hogan was in it and telling these stories. And
She had nothing but good things to say about him.
She didn't talk to... She actually had nice things to say about Hulk Hogan, which is interesting. But the point is that at the end of the whole thing, Hulk Hogan goes up on there. Terry goes out on there and goes, oh, man, they didn't know what they were doing. They talked to people. He was basically just shitting on his ex-wife.
Mm.
And Viceland comes back and goes, hey, dickhead. We asked you if you wanted to be in this, and you said no.
Why wouldn't you? Oh, Terry.
So don't now tell us that, we didn't get the whole story.
Were you at the graves of your best friends, Roddy Piper and Macho Man, who hated you?
Yeah.
Were you at their graves, Terry, you dork?
God, I know.
Why do you have to suck so bad?
Yeah.
You were cast as Hulk Hogan.
I know.
Why do you have to suck? I want to like Hulk Hogan.
I know. That's like anybody that's gotten to play Batman.
Right. Why do you have to suck? You know what I mean? You got the ultimate... Why do you... God damn it. Why didn't we just give the role to Billy Graham? You were playing Billy Graham.
I know.
You were doing a Billy Graham impression the whole time.
Yeah.
Makes me mad. Anyway, you can ask us if you want. It's still... You know, you can ask us about anything.
Yeah, you can subscribe and...
Once a month on Be Heard. It's the fifth show. So there's four shows right after twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV on Wednesdays. We're immediately live with the continuing topic, which we really appreciate your support. And then once a month, we also do Be Heard, which is anything goes. You can ask us about anything you like, wrestling or otherwise. And so we're going to give you a couple questions, and then the rest of them are going to be reserved for tonight's episode on patreon.com.
The fun part is we never actually... hear them beforehand, which is the fun part.
Yeah, we always keep them as a surprise. So we wanted to do that.
Genuine, raw answers.
It's more legitimate if you don't get a chance to think about
it. But we're going to do 4th of July traditions first.
Yeah, what are you guys up to this weekend for 4th of July?
Normally I do one of two things. I either go up to my parents' house in New Hampshire. They have a...
Hampshire? Has anybody ever been to Old Hampshire?
In England probably?
Is it different?
Yeah. Hampshire?
Just Hampshire? Is it just Hampshire?
It's Hampshire.
We got a lot of UK fans.
We do the Macarena there. Is it the Hampshire dance? Remember?
It was fun.
The world's first meme.
Yeah, it was fun.
Hamster dance.
They got a place on the lake, and so there's fireworks over the lake, and that's fun. Or I go to my grandmother's house, and she lives right next to the park that the fireworks in the town are at, so it's really nice.
Have you guys ever done the Esplanade?
I
have not and refuse to.
That the hat shell?
Yeah.
Yep.
I've never done it.
I have a
What's it actually like?
I have a funny and embarrassing story about going to the hat shell.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah.
So one year my folks, and this was legitimately 20 years ago, gulp because I'm old, maybe even more. But it was a very spontaneous.
You got a birthday coming up and it's an old one.
Uh-huh. I'm turning
next
22.
Next week.
22. Oh.
22 with 11 years experience.
We'll be live. We'll be live on my birthday next week.
Ooh.
And Bill's going to jump out of my cake.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's in charge.
Apparently I'm in charge of that.
Yeah. If it doesn't happen, it's on you. So we went to the hat shell. It was really spontaneous. We were in Boston in the afternoon and they were like, you want to just stick around and go to the Pops? Because it's free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were like, yeah, we'll do it. And we had a blanket in the back of the car that we were like, we'll lay out the blanket. We'll do it. And we did. And it was nice. It was crowded, but it was fun. The fireworks were nice. We had it. We were on the grass. We had a good time. It was a long
night.
Don't
you have to get there super early to see anything?
We probably laid down our blanket by 3 o'clock in the afternoon and the show started probably 7-ish. I don't know. Something like that.
Nine? Because that's when the sun goes down?
Something like that. I have no idea. We were there for a while. I remember that part. It was fun. It was the fireworks are good. The music was good. I liked the Pops.
Yeah.
So it was fun. The embarrassing part for me, as I tell you anyway on the radio, is I basically, because we had been there so long, we've been there for like 8 hours or something. Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's a long day.
And I'm 10 or whatever, and I gotta pee. And so my parents are basically looking around in a sea of people, thousands of people.
Yeah, like, right.
We're never going to make it to the car. Even if we do, what does that matter? Are we going to pee on the car? Like, we're never going to make it to where this needs to be resolved. So in the middle, because I'm 10, in the middle of the Boston Commons, I wrap myself up in my sister's Cabbage Patch Kid bed sheet that we used as the blanket on the ground.
Fantastic.
Drop trout just pissed in this blanket, just pissed in this sheet, pulled up my pants, left the sheet there, and walked away. And so I'm not proud of it.
Oh, so you peed in the sheet?
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't like a curtain to like for you to pee in a bottle
or
something?
Nope. I'm 10, we just go, we don't care about this sheet.
Sister did.
This cabbage fell. Oh, yeah. Well, she never saw that again. And so I just peed in the middle.
She's still mad about
it. It was very freeing, but just in the middle of the Boston Common, I'm just peeing in public.
Aww.
And then we just go, well, that sheet's toast. We'll never wash that memory out.
Yeah.
And we just left it there.
That's pretty funny.
And now I feel bad about it, saying the left it there part out loud.
I'm not going to necessarily be able to follow that up.
No, definitely not.
But yeah.
You didn't pee in the middle of the Boston Common?
No. Not that time, anyway.
Nando liked Spider-Man.
I like Spider-Man as well.
Yeah, what a weird release day on a Tuesday.
It's so that you can capture all of the weekend.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You know, it's so you can, because you're not going to release it tomorrow.
Right.
Most people have this week off.
You know, and then, a lot of people, like, I have Friday off as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, be able to go see it again.
All right.
Lucky you.
Let's roll. I don't have any 4th of July traditions.
Yeah, I have one more, okay. And that's watching Independence Day.
I love that movie!
The greatest speech in the history of movie presidents.
Yeah. The greatest movie.
The greatest presidential speech of all time wasn't from a real president.
The greatest movie that definitely, definitely didn't know how it was going to end when they were writing it.
There's a deleted scene that actually explains everything.
How they got... a virus onto a spaceship?
Yeah, so it's a computer virus that shut down their life support systems.
Yeah, no, I understand what happened.
You had me at Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, no, I understand what happened completely.
Yeah.
They shut down the mothership, so you shut down the subordinate ships. How in the world did I encrypt you with a virus? You're a spaceship,
right.
And I had a MacBook in 1995.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's not a thing we did. And you're also telling me that they were Norton antivirus away from indeed conquering Earth.
They were.
You know what I mean? Like if they had a firewall from McAfee,
They would.
We would be done.
Yeah.
Like I had a Mac virus, which don't exist.
Yes.
That I put onto a spaceship.
Actually, Mac viruses exist. They just actually explode your computer.
Oh, neat. I love that movie.
Yes.
It's just like, that is definitely the biggest but where they're like, we gave a spaceship a simple computer virus.
And the second one
they were
was
not ready for that.
So bad.
Yeah. No, the second one doesn't exist.
It was so
bad. I don't know what you're talking about.
There is no second one.
We watched it. It exists.
There is no Will
terrible.
Smith.
We put all the copies of Dumb and Dumber 2 in that spaceship from the second Independence Day and shot it to the moon, where it died.
Yeah.
Where it died. Yes. On landing, because neither of those movies
exploded. Spider-Man was great. I saw it last night.
I have not seen it yet. No spoilers.
It is truly the close of Phase 3, and I'm very excited for Phase 4.
Awesome.
I miss Stan Lee, though.
Mm. Let's get at least one or two Be Heard questions
in there. Yeah, we're going to get two in. We're going to get one audio and one text.
Before we switch over to Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders, where you can listen live to the whole rest of that show.
All right, so the first one comes from Mike, and he actually had a great question. It says, my daughter recognizes and sings along to Old Town Road, especially the Ride Till I Can't No More part.
Uh-oh.
And it says, it's not the most appropriate song for a four-year-old, but it happens. Anyways, what is a song you guys remember singing along to as a kid that you were told to not sing, and what do you kind of regret singing along to looking back on it?
Shaggy. It wasn't me. That was the one that they
dumbest
were like...
Dumbest song in the history of mankind.
So I didn't get told not to sing it, because I think this somehow went over all of our dumb white heads.
Mm-hmm.
But the Macarena is about a girl whose boyfriend goes out of town, and then she cheats on him with all his friends, and then she's like, I don't care. Like, that's what that song's about.
Sure.
Yeah. And like, not even like just, oh, well, I don't speak Spanish. It's like, no, the only English parts of her are going like, what was I supposed to do? He was out of town and his two friends were so fine. Her boyfriend went out of town and she was like, what was I supposed to do? Not bang two of his friends? Be reasonable. And so, like, yeah, going to every wedding and birthday party in the world.
The dance is fun.
And just being like, and this chick's in the background being like, who don't I bang? Like, seriously, everybody? I'm banging everybody like you. Turn around, I'm banging you. Like, yeah, and it was just like, and I'm like 7 years old being like, yeah, I know. Am I right? I know the dance. It's the only one I know. Yeah, I only know two songs. This is the theme song to The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That's the only two theme songs I know. Right. The only two songs I know beginning to end. I'm seven. Like I'm a 9 year old. I don't know what I'm doing, but like that's, didn't get told not to sing it, but yeah, that song looking back is like, what were we doing?
One that I regret singing was Touch Myself by the Divinyls.
I love that song.
It's a great song. It's absolutely fun, but I did not know what it was at seven.
I remember, my grandmother wondering if, she should get me a Spice Girls CD, which the answer was no. But she was unsure if she should get me a Spice Girls CD because the guy at the store said that it'd be popular, but she thought that it was porn. And I was like, well, it's a CD, so this would be the soundtrack to porn, which would either just be a lot of smooth saxophone or moaning. You know what I mean? So just don't get the CD for me anyway, but it's not what you think it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Macarena, definitely, if you look back on it, is like, why are we singing this? Like, what are we doing here?
I would say for me, it's probably a tie between Britney Spears' Hit Me Baby One More Time and Christina Aguilera's Genie in a Bottle.
Oh, fun.
Do you think those are suggestive?
Those are very suggestive.
Yeah, I guess so. You got to rub me the right way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of that just went over my head back then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even like Ricky Martin.
Like Semi-Charm Kind of Life is a really fucked up song.
It's about meth. It's about meth. There's literally a line where he goes, doing crystal meth will keep you up and all that. And it's just like, everybody's like, wow, I can't believe it. It's like, he said it.
He said
crystal meth in there. He said it. Yes. You know what I mean? Like in
Jumper.
Oh, yeah.
It's about suicide.
Yeah, that's also by Third Eye Blind. What's going on with Third Eye Blind? What are they going through?
I don't know.
But like, those would be the most suggestive ones, but I'm trying to think of anything like, I know my, Macarena. That chick was just blowing everybody, and we were at a wedding.
Yeah.
And being like, yeah, I know.
To be fair, people get blown at a wedding. What is that? What's the next one, Bill?
So the next one, we're going to do an audio question. So this is part of the fun gimmick of Be Heard, is you can actually submit a video or an audio question for your voice to actually be heard on the show. And so Brian sent in an audio question, and here's what he had to say.
Hey, guys. Brian here, submitting my Be Heard question. My question is, if you guys can go back in time and be in attendance to any certain concert or performance from an artist or band, what would it be? Mine would be Nirvana, live Unplugged in New York,
Hooray!
The MTV special.
Good answer.
Always been a huge fan of Nirvana. Unfortunately, never got to see them perform live.
Yeah, because he killed himself.
All right, curious to see what your guys' answers would be. Keep up the great work. Love the show as always, and take care.
I love you. I think that's your buddy Brian. I love your buddy Brian.
So not able to. You already saw Nirvana live because you're super old.
Yeah, no, I didn't. He died when I was seven, so that's unacceptable that you would think that I would seen that band when I was.
I thought
like,
you were 22.
Yeah, so.
I wasn't even alive when he was dead.
You saw Nirvana.
I did not.
See right through you.
I missed the Beatles too, you bastard.
Oh, I thought you were that old.
Thank you.
Your birthday's next week.
Really having a good time with this one.
I have one specifically.
Then you hit it.
Okay.
I would say the Queen performance at Wembley Stadium. Would have loved to have seen Freddie Mercury live.
That's a good one.
I'm a diehard Queen fan. I love Queen. I'm actually going to go see them in a couple of weeks with Adam Lambert, so I'm really excited about that. But I would have loved to have seen Freddie in his element at Wembley Stadium.
I'm going to give you a super... I got a couple of them. I am going to give you a super duper cliche one. Sounds like it would have been fun to be at Woodstock.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like on the nose as that is. It's like, there were some pretty cool bands there. Everybody seemed to have a pretty good time. Don't take the blue acid. But that one would have been pretty great, too. I love Brian's answer about being at Nirvana Unplugged in New York, because that is their just best like thing, is that CD and that performer. That is like their best thing. And I would like to... Do you have one?
I have a couple, yeah.
Then you hit it. Yeah.
So, Bill, I 100% agree with you. That probably would have been my answer if you didn't say it.
It's a good one.
I would love, love, love to have seen Elvis in Vegas.
Ooh, fun.
That would be really fun.
Yeah.
I would like to have seen Michael Jackson after Thriller, but whatever the closest tour was. And I would love to have...
Not the Thriller tour?
Like, the see the Thriller tour.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And then Led Zeppelin. I would love to.
You should go to the show where the dove lands on what's his name? Who's the lead singer of Led Zeppelin? This is going to drive it. Robert Page. Plant. Robert Plant. There's a dove that just lands on Robert Plant. It's like, wow, that's weird.
Yeah.
Go to that one.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Yeah, those are all outstanding choices. I would love to see Elvis Presley live.
In Vegas?
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
That's basically the way to do it, right? If you're going to go see Elvis, that's the way to do it. That would be really fun. I would love to smoke a cigar with Method Man and Red Man. So any one of their shows. Maybe just go to the Open Smoke tour that I was way too young for. I was too young for!
You know what's another good one, and I really wish I could have done it, was Celine Dion in Vegas.
That is not one of mine, but that is but it's just
no.
It's just
I fucking love Celine Dion.
Hard pass for me.
Oh, my heart will go on for you, Celine.
I'll also give you this one. This will be my parting one. I'd love to see Alice in Chains. Unplugged in New York as well. There, it was a fun great show. I really liked them.
You know who I did get to see on their No Seriously, We're 100% Serious, This Is the End tour. Is Motley Crue.
Oh,
it was before he sounded like that. Yeah, I got to hear Vince Neil before he sounded like Bob Neil.
It's a bold move to replace Vince Neil with Bob Dylan. They're different styles. Is that the last preview?
Yeah, we're going to preview.
That's a great call because we got plenty of more questions and they are all waiting on patreon.com/newageinsiders.
Subscribe right now.
Exactly. And even if you didn't get a chance to listen to us live every Wednesday night, which you should be on twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV, you can still get that show. There's a Patreon app. It's super easy to download. It's really easy to get all the shows. The way I describe it all the time, it's a lot like Netflix where the season's already on like season 4 or 5. You don't just get this latest episode. There's a big giant backlog that you can get. So if you're a big podcast person, a lot of trips, and you just want to hear and support the show, patreon.com/newageinsiders. And if you're listening live and you subscribe on twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV right now, we'll send you the link and you can join us right over there. Is there anything else that you guys would like to get on the air before we jump over to Patreon?
I think we're good.
No, that's it.
Awesome. So we will see you for the rest of Be Heard. We really do have a blast over there. It's going to be awesome. Patreon.com/newageinsiders. And if you like what you hear, you can submit to the next one by signing up twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV. Thank you so much for the support. We can't wait for next week in the summer and what's to come and chair shots and talking about different things in wrestling that aren't just, is this... still what we like. We're really excited for what's coming, and we'll see you guys real soon, next week, in fact, and if you're a Patreon, very shortly. My name's been Jason Malta.
I'm Liam Stryker.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We are the New Age Insiders. Find us right back here, twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV on Wednesdays, iTunes, Podomatic, Glork Normal, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all over the place, at New Age Insiders, at Liam and AI, at Bill Neville and AI, the website. With everything we got going on, easy links, find the friends, find the shows, find everything. Shout out to Jamie and Scotty and Rich and DC and Doc and everybody that makes this what it is, the premier place for fans of all kinds to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.